Appreciate the kind introduction and certainly enjoyed the song service. That was music to a sinner's ears. Hearing those wonderful songs of Zion. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you brothers and sisters here in Macedonia Church. And certainly appreciate Brother Scott and Sister Claire for taking well care of me, inviting me into their home, and getting to spend time with their four kids. And I know my wife and I have four ourselves, and so I know what Sunday mornings are normally like at our house. And I appreciate you putting up with one more this morning and taking good care of me. So, but that's what. Is evidence as you travel amongst the Primitive Baptists, the love that you have for one another. I've said it many times, an old brother down in South Georgia was talking about some folks that he was working with or some friends that he had. And, they were asking him about church, and he was talking about traveling to different states and going to Tennessee and different places and staying with whoever, and he's like, man, you just pop up and stay with some stranger? And said, no, just a brother I've never met before. That's the love that flows from heart to heart amongst us, that we're able to fellowship one with another. I do appreciate the opportunity to come and visit. This is my first time here, and appreciate the opening scriptures that were read and expounded upon. That salvation by grace just never gets old, does it? What a wonderful blessing. And we never get tired of hearing it. And as the brother prayed, I do hope you'll continue to pray for this unworthy one as I stand before you. It is another day. And my full dependence is in that of God. If anything is to be said or expounded upon or heard, that would be glorifying to His name, edifying to His church. I have some scripture I'd like to turn to in the beginning. In the fifth chapter of Mark, and begin reading a little bit there, if the Lord would bless us, and maybe do a little turning as we go through, if the Lord would be our guide. In the fifth chapter, according to in the Gospel of Mark, begin reading in the 21st verse of that chapter. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. So he didn't get off the boat good before the crowd had gathered around him. They had come right up to the edge where they had docked, come into port, and the crowd was gathered around. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. So the crowd was traveling with him as they left out of the port where they had come out and docked. Jairus, this man, had come up to him to petition unto him to follow him to where his little daughter was upon the bed of affliction. But the crowd followed him, continued to. You can imagine the crowd as they were walking, they were bumping into one another and jockeying for position. Much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. She was at the end of a rope. Where do we turn? So many times we try to solve problems and solve issues and take matters into our own hands. And then we finally realize, whenever we are just stirring up mud and churning up and going nowhere, we finally realize that if we turn to that of Jesus, turn to that of God, then we come to our just the last hope that we have. Brothers and sisters, this woman had been had an issue of blood for 12 years. She had gone through the trials and the errors of all these physicians trying to find a way to heal her. And she had not only gone broke, but she wasn't any better, she was worse. We can get worse off if we try. And we get down in the clay, in the miry clay, and we begin to try to churn and battle our way out. And we find ourselves getting deeper and deeper into the things, the trials and the tribulations of this world. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. So she found a way to maneuver her way through the crowd that was thronging Jesus as he walked. Not to shake his hand, not to give him a hug, not to touch his toe, but she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Brothers and sisters, everything that has anything to do with Jesus Christ is perfect. There is no variations, brothers and sisters. There's no shadow of turning, as the way James puts it over there in his letter. But brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is perfect and precious. And she said within herself that I might get through this crowd and just be able to touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee. Sayest thou, who touched me?" He's like, "What are you talking about? Everybody's touching me. Everybody's touching you. Everybody's gathered around you. They're trying to get a view. They're trying to get as close as they can to hear if he's going to say anything. But brothers and sisters, this woman was moving on faith. This woman was moving that if she touched just the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ, that she would be healed. Brothers and sisters, they weren't there. She was not there for that of the natural beauties. And brothers and sisters, you can go through the scriptures, and there's many people and many of God's people that want to base their worship of Jesus Christ on something they can fixate their eyes upon. How beautiful it can be to that of the eyes. And do they have what I need over there? And how beautiful Jesus must have been and what he must have looked like. But brothers and sisters, we can go through that of the scriptures, and we can read through that of the gospels, and we can understand that the Lord would bless us, that Jesus Christ looked like just every other Jew that was walking around, because he was able to blend in every time they were after him. He was able to go through the crowd and just disappear. Whenever the Pharisees and the scribes would want to grab hold of him and take him, he would just get away. Blend right through the crowd. He looked just like every other Jew that was walking around. He didn't come wearing a crown, brothers and sisters, but he was born in the stall. He didn't come in some high and mighty way. And he certainly, as we see here, he was walking that of the road. He didn't spend his time in that of the king, amongst that of the Pharisees, amongst that of the high and mighty. But brothers and sisters, he came to walk amongst and save sinners.
Yes.
And thanks be to God that he gave his only begotten son for that purpose.
Amen.
So his disciples were going, "How are we supposed to know? Everybody's touching you." And he looked round about to see her and that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Thy faith hath made thee whole.
Yes.
Trusting that Jesus Christ was her Savior.
Right.
And he told her, said, thy faith hath made thee whole. And he gave her something to do. Once she had been healed, brothers and sisters, her life was not over, but there was a promise. But between until the promise be fulfilled, as brother was mentioning, when he comes back to receive all that the Father had given him, he told her, said, go in peace and be whole of thy plague.
Yeah.
Be whole from that of sin, brothers and sisters. Be whole from that of the plague that plagues these old cursed, sinful bodies as we were formed from that of the dust and walk in this sin-cursed world. Be healed by that of Jesus Christ. If we flip over to Luke, in the 19th chapter there, we'll read another account. Now Zacchaeus. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Publicans well known for they were tax collectors, but exacting more than was needed. So they always had plenty of extra. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. So there's another crowd gathered around Jesus here. Another, the multitude that's gathered around him, and Zacchaeus, being little of stature, was unable to get through the press. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Zacchaeus had felt a desire to see who this Jesus was, to try to understand what all the fuss was. Why is the crowd gathered around? Got these people thronging, the multitude that's thronging Jesus Christ as he goes through that of the streets. And he'd heard about him. Jesus called out to Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Jesus called out to Zacchaeus at the appointed time that he wanted to, brothers and sisters. If we continue to read through that chapter, a little further over, there's another account. If we look over about verse 28, we'll begin reading in verse 30, saying, go ye into the village over against you, Jesus speaking to his disciples, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never a man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? And thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord had need of him. Now, brothers and sisters, there was a prophecy being fulfilled here. The Lord was in the matter. I don't know that if me or any of you were sitting around talking with some of our family or our friends, and these two strangers walked up and grabbed the keys to our car and decided to drive off, that we'd say, where are you going with this thing? And he'd say, well, the Lord hath need of it. Yeah, I don't think so. Give me that thing now. It ain't even my car. But the Lord was in the matter here. Mm-hmm. The Lord was in the matter. And they brought the colt, they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And brothers and sisters, this was an ordinary colt. Never a man had sat on it. Now, I've never tried to break a horse, but I can tell you what, a donkey is a little more ornery, I believe. And never a man had sat on this colt. And they set Jesus upon him. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. Again, a crowd is gathered around.
Yeah.
Another crowd, the disciples going with him, and the multitude is with him. They're strolling the road out in front of him. And brothers and sisters, as he travels, they have gathered around him, and with a loud voice, they begin to praise God for all the mighty works that they had seen. Praising God as he rode the colt into that of the city. Saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And that didn't sit too well with the Pharisees. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. That's a really beautiful verse there. Brothers and sisters, if you want to read through the scriptures, and we can read about that, that there will always be, and there currently is, that of a remnant upon that of the earth that is worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And brothers and sisters, the word of God cannot be bound. And brothers and sisters, if we trust as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and Old Baptist that we are worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. But brothers and sisters, God will be worshipped.
Yeah.
For as long as time continues on, there will be some group worshiping God and praising His name.
Yeah.
Somewhere. If these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out, giving praise to that of Jesus Christ and who He is, being truly and verily the Son of the Living God. They tried to get the crowd to hold their peace. If we flip over to the 27th chapter of Matthew. We'll see another multitude. If we pick up in verse 20. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. We got another multitude here that's gathered around, and they're being persuaded by the chief priests here, who, if we read maybe here or in another place, it said that they were moved with envy.
Yeah.
They moved with envy, brothers and sisters. And the crowd says, they all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, wow, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, the crowd grew even more raucous. They became even more disorderly, more riotous, as they were began to continue to be persuaded and stirred up by that of the scribes and the elders that were there, that moved with envy against Jesus Christ. They were stirring up the crowd, getting them even more riled up. And Pilate finally figured he wasn't going to make any headway with them. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. They went ahead and threw the children in the basket too. So wait a minute, Pop, I don't know. I might not agree with this end. You throwing me in on this. I don't know if I want to go along with this. But they said, let the blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. The soldiers took him, whipped him, put on a scarlet robe. They plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head, mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. They spit upon him and took the reed and smote him in the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. If we flip over to the 15th chapter back in the Gospel of Mark, you see the same account as they're there before Pontius Pilate. In the 8th verse, and the multitude crying aloud began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. Pilate answered them, Well, will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more, Exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. You reckon a lot of this crowd knew what they were doing? Or they were just crowded around because that seemed like what everybody else was doing. Because we read in the other accounts that as Jesus traveled and the people and the multitudes that were with him were witnessing that of the miracles as Jesus worked, that they followed him in crowds. They came to him wanting to see and desiring to see that of the miracles, and they brought that of the sick to him to be healed, brothers and sisters. How fickle was their faith? How fickle is our faith, brothers and sisters? Because we can rest assured that our faith will be tried in this time world in which we exist. I believe that our faith, brothers and sisters, God is trying that of His people in this great country right now as we sit here today. But brothers and sisters, we must continue to reside on that of the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And we must not let our faith be fickle and be persuaded by every wind of doctrine that comes about. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians over there, warning them about wolves in sheep's clothing, about not being carried about by every wind of doctrine. But brothers and sisters, there is yet but one gospel of Jesus Christ. He wrote to the Galatians, wondering that they had been so faithful, and now that he's absent from them, they have been so quick to turn unto another gospel. But he told them, said, yet there is not another. And brothers and sisters, we must stand firm on our faith, which is by Jesus Christ. The scripture says over there, when he talks about being saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. Brothers and sisters, it's a gift of God. Our faith is in that of Jesus Christ. As the sick woman desired just to touch the hem of his garment. What a great, there's a psalm over there that you can read. I can't remember which one it is, but he says, if I could just be a doorkeeper in the master's house. Brothers and sisters, how great it is to sit under the song, under the sounds of the songs of Zion. And we must stay in that of the scriptures as they teach over there in Acts. When he says they searched the scriptures daily, staying in that of the scriptures so that if we hear something, brothers and sisters, the devil comes at us in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
He comes to deceive us. We have to be aware and keep our armor on. I can take my armor off and I can try to handle the trials and tribulations of this world. And that's when old devil's going to get at me. And he gets at me. He gets at all of us. He can get at me. But to keep the armor on,
right,
to keep that full armor on, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel.
Right. Amen.
The Ephesians over there, you can read, you know, Paul wrote to them about, carried about with every wind of doctrine. That was another crowd that got after him. Whenever Paul was amongst that, over there at Ephesus, and they begged him not to go into that of the house, because they were so upset with Jesus being preached, because he was the preaching of Jesus Christ was ruining their welfare. The silversmiths and the craftsmen over there made a great living fashioning all of these idols after their goddess Diana, which they worshipped. And that's how they made their living. They fashioned all of these idols and these fancy things that they could set before the people of Ephesus. And then here comes Paul preaching Jesus Christ and his own faith. Nothing set before that of the idols. We sang the song in the last verse that was about the dripping of the blood. In the last verse there, it said the things of the world and the gloss.
Yeah.
The gloss that grabs, the shiny things that grab our eyes and draw our attention away from, that draw our faith away. The things that we see, brothers and sisters, are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. Think about Joshua. Think about Joshua when he, when Moses had died, and the Lord began to speak to Joshua, and they're getting ready to go over into the promised land. They're getting ready to go over the River Jordan and go over into the promised land where the wells were digged, the vineyards were already in place, and everything was going to be there. All they had to do was maintain it and to do what God told them to do. But God warned Joshua, telling him, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide an inheritance, inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee, not to turn from it to the right hand or the left. That narrow gate, brothers and sisters, is hard to turn to the right or to the left. That straight way, we get in the broad way and the wide gate, it's easy to make a turn to the right or to the left. That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Be strong and of good courage. The trials and the tribulations come. The crowds come. The raucous crowds. Tempting and persuading. People that are claiming to be leaders. The Pharisees claiming to be righteous above all others. Moved with envy and caused the crowd to riot over Jesus Christ. Crucifying.
Yeah.
They didn't understand it all. They were just moving. They were persuaded by that of the Pharisees. This is what we need to do. Cry out.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, what are we being taught? We've got to get in the Scriptures and in the Gospel. Y'all may hear me say something. That sounds pretty good. That sounds about right. It may be a little bit off. We need to be searching the Scriptures to find out. And reminded, Brother Scott, it was interesting what you read last night when we read in Proverbs, when you were reading with the children. And I need to do a better job of that. That was wonderful. Last night there at the house, he was reading in the 9th chapter of Proverbs, speaking about wisdom. And there's a contrast about that of the wisdom. And we come unto her. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, come and eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. God's wisdom, brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Not man's wisdom. God's wisdom. Because the contrast, if you continue to read through that chapter, the wisdom of man, and it says, forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. And you read a little further down, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A reverential fear. God, there is nothing that God can't do. And I heard a scripture the other day. Let me read that scripture. I heard a scripture the other day. Man is constantly wanting to question the sovereignty of God. Well, you know, wanting to take a little credit. Trying to take a little bit of credit from God and from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did this. I got a meeting the rest of the week. What the elder read before this morning, brothers and sisters, is exactly right, that it has been finished.
Yeah.
Everyone that the Father gave him, brothers and sisters, when Jesus Christ poured out the blood upon that of the cross and the veil was torn from top to bottom, brothers and sisters, it was just as the type and the shadow of the chief priest when he bore the names of the 12 tribes upon his shoulders before he went behind the veil into the Most Holy. Jesus Christ bore the names of all the children that the Father had given him before the foundation of the world when he was on the cross. When he shed that blood, brothers and sisters, never to be another sacrifice needed. It was finished right then. It was finished. In the 78th Psalm, in the 41st verse, yeah, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. The scripture says, Peter mentions it many times, that he is to bring remembrance, call us to remembrance of the things of the gospel. Because we're forgetful. We're forgetful people, just as the children of Israel were. But notice, and it says they limited the Holy One of Israel. They didn't limit God by what he could do, but they limited by what he would do because of their disobedience. Not what he is capable of doing. But brothers and sisters, we trust that this little meeting, and I believe as the brother mentioned, the little meetings that are going on round and about this creation, that they're pleasing in the sight of God. That we're worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Giving him all the praise and all the glory. And that whenever the old devil comes in that of sheep's clothing, and he's tempting, and the trials and the tribulations of life are placed in front of us, that our faith would not be fickle, and we join to one crowd or to another, but we rest on that rock that is Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and Savior. He is our buckler.
Yeah.
He is our rock. And to sit amongst one another and to just touch the hem of his garment, if we can feel his presence in our hearts and the love flows from breast to breast for just a few moments,
yeah,
it might give us something that we could carry with us whenever we're worn down by the Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays and Fridays of this world, until another opportunity and we might come back and be revived to sit together as we are this morning. God bless. If you've heard anything that's been a benefit, give God all the praise and the glory, and pray for me if you do have a moment.